Welcome to the Dark Points Podcast, where we talk about everything data center, information technology, cybersecurity, and more. I'm your host, William Sellers, and I'll be joined by various technology professionals, vendors, partners, and special guests. This is Dark Points Podcast number 97 for Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. In this podcast, we'll get to know a few of our systems engineering team members, as well as the head of our project management group. These folks are critical to our ongoing customer success, support, and solutions implementations. All this and more in the next Dark Points Podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this podcast are the speaker's own and do not necessarily represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Dark Points or a guest's employer. And welcome to the next, or the new, Dark Points podcast. This is podcast number 97 for March 27th, 2024. It's been a little while since we've done one. The last one we did was back in December. So it's been a little while, but you know, we get busy sometimes. So we definitely want to come back and get one in the can and out to everyone. And I think we've got a great podcast coming in today. One little thing here, you'll notice our my co-host, my old co-host, Michael Faisley, has moved on. And we're going to continue doing the podcast here, but Michael is doing something he always wanted to do, and we wish him well. So we'll go from there. But today's podcast, what we're going to talk about is Dark Points Engineering Services Team. In the past, we've done a podcast mid last year where we talked about our network operations center and our support services, but now we're going to move on to engineering services. So today I have on our podcast some of our employees here at Dark Points that make up some of our engineering staff and our engineering team, and we want to kind of introduce everyone to these guys. So let's go around the horn here. Patrick, do you want to introduce yourself and kind of what your roles are here at Dark Points?
Yeah, for sure. I'm Patrick Gill, as it says on the screen. I am the Director of Engineering Services, and we'll get into what our team does, but we're essentially the provisioning team that sets everything up for customers after the solutions architects architect it, then we hand it off to the support team, and then Jonathan and Dustin are on our team, two of the most critical players on our teams, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Jarvis. I'm also an engineer on the engineering services team, helping to provision new clients. Right now, mostly very much a focus on our South Central core clients, as that's a market that I'm used to. However, we are, as we branch out, move around, that scope is growing every single day.
Yep, and I'm Dustin. Jonathan there pretty much said everything to the point there. I'm sure y'all probably seen a few emails from me, so I'm sure here's a face to the name now at least. And yeah, we've been working with Pat now for what last year ish, and it's been a great team and been loving it. Hell yeah.
Awesome. Cool. So Patrick, Jonathan and Dustin are here in the Baton Rouge area. Where are you? Yeah. Let's tell everyone where you're from. Where you're located now?
Yep, I'm in Columbus, Indiana, which is about 50 miles south of Indianapolis. So I'm in our Midwest region. We've got three data centers over here, kind of a little bit of a stone's throw from one another. And I started at this data center in 2010. And then, of course, we got acquired by Dark Points in, I think, late 2018 or early 2019. So been here for a while. We've done some acquisitions. We got the awesome guys in South Central at Baton Rouge and Shreveport just last year. And like they said, it's been great to work with them. And the cultures fit identically. So it was really easy to integrate and kind of hit the ground running there.
Fantastic. And then this illustrious gentleman here in the bottom panel here, Nathan Fultz. I wanted to bring Nathan on this call because Nathan is very integral to the success of Dark Points and the success of your team, Patrick. And Nathan's responsibility is project management, which must drive everybody nuts. But Nathan is critical to the success that we have here at Dark Points, and I wanted to have him on the podcast today.
Well, Will, I appreciate that. I was a little concerned when you started off that there's four of us now filling the shoes of Michael Faisley. So he must have been a heck of a podcaster, but we'll do our best here with the four of us to fill those shoes. But yeah, Nathan Foltz, I lead our project management office, which does encompass the provisioning work that the engineers do. And really, the core focus there is to bring the framework for project management into that world, right? So that we are communicating with the customers effectively, we're tracking issues, we're reporting any risk up to the organization. Things that we do on larger scale and internal projects, we're now bringing it in kind of the day-to-day workflow and day-to-day operations of the business. So I operate out of Cincinnati, Ohio, have people in the South Central and the Carolina region as well. And I've been out of this data center since 2008.
Wow.
So happy to be here. Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, guys, Jonathan actually kind of, you know, when Jonathan was talking, when he was introducing himself, he made a key statement in that, you know, one of the things that the engineering services does, let me actually back up a little bit. When we talk about support services, you know, we have our tier one and tier two support services, which are the NOC, right, which Karan leads that group. And those are really the first touch in terms of the day-to-day support of our products and services. And then tier three, Patrick, that's really your team, right? When there's something that maybe the NOC, you know, either tier one or tier two needs help with, they reach out to you and your team, yeah?
Yeah, and pretty generally how Dart Points has gone is the tier one team is probably the least tenured, and they're kind of, you know, the younger crew that's learning and cutting their teeth on all the stuff that comes into them. And then we do have some tenure on the tier two team, so those guys really understand products pretty well. Generally, it's a question of access for a lot of things. Engineering services guys have access to a little more, like credentials to a little more, because we're touching more things when we're setting stuff up. We need some more keys to the kingdom that can open doors, right? And so when we do get stuff up from the tier two team, it's generally something that we truly do need to help them deal with. But again, it's a camaraderie culture, and we're able to teach them as they go. So we're needed less and less. And I think that's kind of the goal of everybody, is to work themselves a little bit out of a job, right, and move on to something that's going to benefit the company more, right? We can focus on some more stuff or spinning up some new products and stuff like that, because our support team gets a lot better at supporting the products that exist. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's something that when we had the podcast with Karan, we really talked about, you know, the coaching, cross training, and continual customer service improvement, right? It's not just, you know, hey, I solve a problem, I know what that fix is. We try to share the data amongst, or share the experience amongst our teams, and then we all grow, right? So, you know, you may Jonathan may solve a problem. That problem gets documented, gets put in our system, and then the next time this problem happens, someone other than Jonathan can quickly, you know, look at the notes and resolve the problem as quickly as possible. So we try to do that not only with the NOC, but engineering services, as well as even, you know, solutions architects and then even top tier support does the same thing.
Topper tier. Yeah, and I mean, we're really lucky, and I think the guys can attest to this, but you know, technical, a lot of deeply technical guys don't have they're more focused on the technical stuff than the leadership and teaching aspects of it, but it's kind of different here. I feel like all of our guys have the hearts of teachers and are really want any and everybody to learn the product and to understand it, right? I'm constantly impressed by Jonathan and Dustin walking some of our guys through the meetings that we have. We have several sync up meetings, and you know, Jonathan's taken on some bigger projects of migrating some stuff, and he'll teach along the way, and Dustin the same. So you know, we're kind of blessed in that fashion.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jonathan, I've worked with Jonathan for number of years, and the one thing I'll say about Jonathan, and Jonathan is thorough, and he will ask questions, even if it's questions that we try and maybe shy away from, Jonathan will get out there and ask them. So that's really good.
He's definitely never been one to be shy, and I had to reiterate too about the T2 guys are really great. 9 times out of 10, if they come to us for something, it's usually like, hey, here's what needs to be done, I just don't have access to do it,
right?
Or something like really, really outball weird that, you know, we have to hunker down and figure out. So those T2 guys, and then just the NOC support in general, they're great guys. It makes my job a lot easier.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so when we look at, like, you know, the support that you guys do to the other groups inside of Dart Points and customers, the other thing that your team does, Patrick, is really leading the implementation of the things that the solution architects try to do the best they can to put the statement of works together and then pass that along. And, you know, your team... You know, the solutions architects will work with the customers, will get the, you know, kind of get the solution as baked as it can be and get it to a point where it's acceptable to the customer. But inevitably, when things are getting implemented, you know, we try to have that implementation as smooth as possible. But at the end of the day, your team is responsible for, you know, handling those gotchas that come up, you know, coming back to me, working through an issue, or just handling it with the customer.
Right. Yeah. Very true. And we're also kind of blessed with solutions architects that know what they're doing, know what they're selling. And, you know, the communication up and down the stack, you know, we kind of call it a stack, from the sales to solutions engineering to the provisioning and support, and all the way up and down. As long it works a lot better when we know what's being sold and how we're selling it and how we're implementing it, and then how we're supporting it, right? And I know we'll get to this in a little bit, but you know, the PMO, the project management office, is crucial to that too, because they really need to understand, at least at a high level, what the solutions architects have laid out in the project plan, to then be able to assign things out properly and make sure stuff is staying going the right way and staying on track, getting checked up on, all that jazz as well. So it's a good thing to have.
We're in a really good transition phase right now. You know, Dart Points has experienced some rapid growth, right? You guys came in 3 data centers essentially from South Central. You know, we just come off a Dublin, Ohio acquisition. You know, Patrick and I both came into Dart Points via acquisition. So we are working hard from a PMO standpoint to standardize things. Mm-hmm. When you come in through acquisition, everybody has similar processes, but not the same. So we are working hard, because ultimately we want that customer experience to be the same across the board, no matter what data center items are getting provisioned to. And we want that communication flow to be as seamless as possible. So these acquisitions really force us to look at things through a magnifying glass and find where those continuous improvement things that you talked about earlier on, Will, where can we continually address things to make that customer experience better? And Patrick touched on it too, right? We used to depend on the Dustins and the Jonathans of the world to make some communicate out statuses to customers. Well, we've grown enough that we can't rely on that going forward. So that's where, the PMO responsibility really comes into play, and that customer experience is really at the forefront for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, the way I look at the PMO is they're the guys that are kind of blocking, but they're making the way to make Jonathan and Dustin and the rest of the guys in your team, guys and girls in your team, Patrick, make their path easier, right?
That's right.
So Nathan 100%. Will coordinate with the customers, will work on timelines, kind of handle the administrative and directional cadence with how the work's being done. And that frees up, you know, people in your group, Patrick, to really focus on the technology and make things happen a lot easier and with a lot less friction.
Yeah. For sure. They people are best when they're focused on the thing that they like to do the most and love to do the most. And, the technical stuff is our bread and butter on the engineering services team. So the PMO stepping in there and taking care of that administrative stuff that you're talking about and customer handoffs and customer communication. And then even hunting down within the technical team, if something's not happening, if thing three has to happen before thing four, five, and six can even get started, then the PMO can handle hunting that down while we're doing the rest of our technical work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a little bit about the statement of works and kind of talking about continual improvement. Really, when we talk about statement of works or SLWs, right, or SALs, what typically what the solutions architects will do is that we'll work with a customer to kind of find out what their needs are. What problems they're trying to solve, and we'll kind of build the guide to bring that solution to the customer, right? So we'll do things like a handle site if it's disaster recovery or cloud or data protection services. We'll handle the sizing of the solution, making sure we have the pieces parts put together, and then that's kind of the guide that then transitions into our project management and engineering services team, right? So Nathan will get the SOW. We'll have our weekly review meetings or review calls where we talk about upcoming projects. If we need to review an SOW, we will on that call. Before we even get in touch with the customer and have the kickoff call with the customer, our team has gotten the primer of what we're doing and then is ready to kick off. So we try to keep the questions that we have to ask the customers when we're implementing, we try to keep those at a minimum and try to get all those questions answered ahead of time before we actually start doing the work.
Yeah. And Will, that was such a huge thing you guys brought to the table, right? I mean, a statement of work is such a fantastic summary of what the work that we're going to implement for the customer is, because in the past, typically we take our sales order, we call it an SOF sales order form, and it's what we call SKUs, line item by line item, the services, whether it's backup, cloud, co-location, power, whatever the case may be. And that would be how Patrick's team would implement. Well, you can imagine the amount of questions that are that come up when it's just a line item of power, that can be a lot of different things. So one of the great things that came out of the acquisition is how in the South Central, the statements of work are well thought out, well laid out, which really makes that internal handoff that much better, that much easier.
Well, I did this, when we did this back before the acquisition, I didn't do that because I wanted to have nice, pretty documentation for customers, although I did, and that's great to have. But the statement of works do a lot in that when we forget, after we've implemented a solution for the customer, the customer rides on and we go on forward with our lives. And a lot of times having this detailed documentation of who, what, when, where, why, and how that we can refer back to is really critical, right? So if we're having a problem if we're trying to solve a customer support issue, or even if it's not customer support, maybe it's something we need to change or implement a different solution for a customer, having that guide, having that primer of what the solution we're providing to the customer is very handy. Just to go back and look for your own sanity of like, what did we do? It's not just an order form with SKUs. Here's the SKUs, here's the quantities. It builds, what is the, how can I put this without sounding sappy? What does the music actually sound like, right? What does it actually mean? And having these SOWs, having these SOWs help that. I didn't come up with this. I had a mentor that, when I worked with at a previous company, he's like, William, this is the best thing I ever did was build these statement of works. You should do this too.
Yeah, man.
And it just makes things a lot easier.
Didn't one of your SOWs like literally solve like a problem? It was like a 6-year-old SOW, and we were all, we had in the scope of work, we had sold a client a VPN client that was based out of VMware. It is not one we typically ever sold or do anything with. It was a kind of a one-off. And when the thing came in, we were all confused as to, A, did we ever do this in the first place? Yeah. And B, why is it broken? And because of the scope of work, we're like, oh, we did. And I can now realize it's broken because this password got changed and that user's gone. Now why it isn't working any longer. So that ended up, one of those SOWs ended up solving like a massive headache out of nowhere.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's things like that that make... having the collaboration between solutions architects, engineering services, and implementation and support, things like that just make it easier for the customer, right? It makes it better for the customer in the end of the day.
I think it makes it easier even just on the engineering side, plus probably on the sales guys, because you write them in such a way to where they're easy to read through and you see exactly who's doing what, who's responsible for what, how's this going to look like, which makes it easier for me because I find myself referring back to them pretty much through the entire project process. Whenever I'm actually building out the cloud environment or implementing whatever, like I'm actively referring back to that to make sure that, hey, I kind of see it as like a checkbox, making sure we get everything done. But it's also pretty easy to read for somebody less technical than like me or Jonathan can still read through it and have a good idea of like what the solution is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
The Visios are extra, but they help a lot too.
Oh, look, man, I love doing Visios. A picture is worth 1,000 words some of the time, right? But, No, it actually, I think it helps. And, in terms of implementation, part of the reason why we write the SOWs, the statement of works, is for the customer to have, and say, here's what we're doing and how we're doing it. But also really, back in the day, it was to help implement people who are implementing the project, the actual work, kind of understanding what are the steps that they're working on and things that we need to remember to focus on when we're deploying, say something like, a new cloud for customers, right? Okay, we're going to build a tenant, we're going to assign networking, we're going to roll out VMs. Oh, but wait, let's make sure that we're backing these machines up. So that's why, Dustin, and I'm glad you brought that up, it's good that we have these check marks that, the customer reads through it and it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. I see what we're doing. But when we read through it, it's not only understanding what we're doing, but it's also, okay, let's check and double check ourselves to make sure we're doing everything that the customer expects, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly a blueprint for getting the job done, right? Because you can get a job, you can get a house built without a blueprint, and it probably would look like Nathan's background or my background, but then you have a blueprint and it looks like JJ's or Dustin's background. Now for our audio only customers listening, we have just a brick backgrounds, and JJ and Dustin have very nice backgrounds.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, the magic of
definitely not the same apartment. This is my grand piano I play in my free time. Right.
The magic of remote meetings, right? Yeah, and no, and kind of going back to continual improvement, right? SOWs are never perfect. They're never, I always seem to forget something, and knock on wood or plastic, whatever. It's never something that Patrick, your team can't solve, right? It's nothing that you guys can't overcome. So, and I ask for feedback, and Jonathan and Dustin have been really good about, kind of very nicely putting to me, it's like, well, when you do these SOWs, could you ask for XYZ ahead of time? And, for me, I'm like, well, why do you need that, right? That's going to take more time for us to do. But in the end, it makes it easier for your team to, like, take the ball. If I throw the football straighter, it's easier for you to catch, so to speak, right? It's easier for you to grab the ball or take the baton and move forward. So when we look at, everything that we're trying to continually improve, it's not just support or implementation. It's also, the solutions architects that work with you guys, kind of making sure that we have things as easy and lined up for you as we can. So when we hand it off, it's not something that we end up coming back and going, oh, we forgot about something. Well, let's fix it now, where we could just plan better and have it rolled out a little smoother.
a lot of those things were very human in nature. The suggestions that were that helped a lot, because they'd be things that wouldn't be a part of like someone's traditional thought process of like, all right, we're building an environment. All right, cool. I want this many servers. Here's all the specs on it. I want, you know, all these big numbers. And then very rarely they stop to think, what do you want to name them?
Yeah.
What IP do you want to give them?
Yeah. And to me, I'm like,
little stuff.
And that's little, it's little to me, because I'm thinking, well, you know, Jonathan can handle that. That's easy, you know. But it takes time for you to stop and ask the customer. You know, when you're trying to do this hard work and get things lined up, it takes time for you to go back and forth with the customer, where if we can get those questions answered during kind of the building phase of the solution, then it makes your job just so much easier. And that translates into less time it takes for us to deliver a solution to the customer, which most cases makes the customers happier.
Yep. Especially since there's like already that relationship between, say, like you or the sales guy and the customer. So now they're just getting a random email from me that says, hey, what do you want to name these servers? Like, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
You know, versus, you know, somebody that they're already familiar with.
Exactly.
And of course, they never even conceived of having to name them in the first place. So now they're trying to scramble like, oh, what's our naming convention? And then our IP scheme, what's available? And then, you know, this is all something they could have worked on in their own leisure time many moons ago. But now they have to scramble to get me what is seems arbitrary, but can have a major effect on the environment moving forward, bit of information that they just have to sprint now to get.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I think really it, you know, it doesn't take away from the work that you guys do. It makes it easier, and it makes it to where when you're working with a customer, your personal touch that you're giving the customer when implementing these solutions is more meaningful when you're not having to march through minutia of things that could have been better planned on the beginning. And the old phrase, plan the work, work to plan. Right. And, you know, I don't think you ever get to the point where it's perfect. And I don't think it's ever supposed to be perfect. Right. You have to continually improve, because once you once you get to a point where you're like, OK, I think I've got everything perfect, you find something else you can improve on.
Yeah. Technology is a funny thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Something that comes out, it's obsolete 3 months later.
I think some of this.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead, Nathan.
No, I was just going to say, when you think about it from the customer experience perspective, when you're on that side of the table, right, and you're with a sales rep and a solution architect, and they're kind of drilling in and asking some questions. And like I think Jonathan said, you know, they haven't even thought about their naming convention. But when you guys can bring that up on the front end, to me, I mean, that is checking the box for a customer that, hey, these guys have done this. They know what they're doing. They're taking us down a path, and I'm going to feel a lot better going with a company like this than I might, you know, a big box cloud provider, so to speak. Well, so,
sets us apart. Our people set us apart, right? So if we're asking good questions and we appear intelligent all the way through, then, you know, that's what's going to set us apart. This stuff, you can find this stuff elsewhere, right? Where there's no illusion that we are the only one selling this kind of thing. But you're not going to find these people everywhere, right? And this culture everywhere. So, you know, the more that we can exhibit our key, what do you call those? The principles, key principles that we live by. Those certainly are what, you know, that's the goalpost that we're heading towards. And just for review, those are integrity, initiative, passion, collaboration, and respect.
Absolutely.
Can you, will you do some, overlays, on this?
I'll have some little pop-ups, little fireworks and confetti, right? That pop up, but no, you're
just
right.
Like, Pat, keep him on his face the entire time. For the podcast.
Yeah.
I love when he breaks into his podcast voice when he does that too, but you gotta keep that in there.
Yeah. But you know, Patrick, you're right. I mean, the thing is, you know, we try to, you know, have consistency and excellence, right? We try to always be knowledgeable about what we're working on, whether that's working on projects for customers, working on certifications and continual educating ourselves. And then, you know, coaching, cross-training, continual you know, not only customer service support, but continual just engineering knowledge, right? Learning how to do things easier, faster, better. And then, you know, when we stress, you know, proactivity, right? If we see something that needs to improve, speak up, right? You know, yeah. There's times I've had, it hasn't been lately, good, thank goodness, but there's times lately, you know, hey, William, damn it, you need to get this better on the next SLW, right? And as long as we're not taking it as a, you know, a negative thing, it's just continual positive improvement, right?
And then helping. Go ahead,
Dustin. I was going to say that's something we've definitely never shied from. Whenever we see, like, you know, if I'm digging into a customer's environment for whatever reason, helping them with something, and I notice something, I'm like, that's something you should probably look at. Like, it might not be the problem right now, but you know, next month that might blow up on you. Like, I don't think anybody on the team has ever been shy about letting a customer know, like, hey.
Oh, absolutely.
It could be bad if you don't, like, do something about this.
Yeah, it's a partnership, right? And you'll customers all the time are opening something up for testing in a firewall or something like that. Remote desktop protocol open to the world, and we see that, and we're like, did you guys mean to leave this open? And we
are get you sure? closed.
Yeah, right.
We're trying to talk about the cliff of not adding 48 gigs of RAM to the SQL server before they do any testing.
Or that Windows 2003 server that's still running something or other. But no, but you know, the thing is, we try to help our customers, and you know, we speak up when we need, when we think something needs to be said, we do it. But not only, you know, when it's something that needs to change for the better, it's also acknowledging the good things we do, right? And acknowledging when we make mistakes or when things need to get better. We're not scared to handle each of those things, right? And kind of keep us moving forward.
I think a key point there is customers everywhere. Me, when I'm a customer, I appreciate transparency. So if somebody's made a mistake, you know what, mistakes happen. That's cool. Let's talk about it. Let's fix it. Don't try to sweep that thing under the rug. Let's get it out in the open, and we can work in a partnership as a customer and provider to get it fixed and make it better next time. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really, you know, all this wraps up into the personal touch that we provide to customers that, you know, you may or may not get at, you know, some of the bigger hyperscalers, right? Amazon AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, you know, those are great platforms, but, you know, they don't have a Jonathan, they don't have a Dustin, they don't have a Nathan and Patrick. So that's some of the things that you get that, you know, when we have customers who migrate away from the big hypervisors or the big hyperscalers, they come to us and they go, man, I can pick up the phone and talk to somebody, or I can, you know, open a support case and someone will get back with me in a reasonable amount of time. These are the things that actually, you know, the customers come to us for. In fact, you know, last year we migrated a very large customer out of Azure that wanted to have a local touch, wanted to have the interpersonal relationship with their cloud provider. As weird as that sounds, they wanted to have the support that we could give them, and they actually left Azure to come back to us, and have been rocking and rolling ever since.
Yeah, the beauty of that too is that we have plenty of connections into AWS and Azure and all that jazz too. So you could, you know, hybrid the thing out and talk to somebody, and you know, we all love sharing our opinions. So if you got questions about what's going on there, it's a lot easier to ask us than to try to get anybody there on a phone call or, you know, a support.
Get some AI chat box that's like, yeah, we help you. And
AI is cool.
Operator.
Yeah. AI is good. I mean, I think everyone at this point in time has an account on OpenAI or something, or Copilot.
For sure.
When we need to ask, you know, how do we do this, you know, in Excel or something?
It has its place, right,
Will? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of Excel, and every once in a while there's something that I'll need to do. And I can either go to Google and try to Google it and find someone who may have had a, you know, maybe sort of is trying to do what I'm trying to do, or I can go and just explain it like I would to just someone, you know, sitting next door to me. Hey, I'm trying to do this, and this is the conditions I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to get this output. How do I do it? And, you know, there's your formula, or there's your steps on how to do it. So Technology is an amazing thing, and you know, as long as you have someone who knows how to wield it properly, it can be positive.
Yeah. So it's like Google foo, you got to get the AI foo, you know, eventually.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So guys, you know, in terms of, you know, kind of looking back on some of the things you've done in the past, can you talk about, you know, what are some of the things that you most like working in your team, right? As implementation and in engineering services.
Yeah.
It's probably a fairly generic canned answer here, but there's definitely, you know, the folks that you work with, and some environments that I've worked in, it can be very standoffish, you know, trying to bring in someone else onto your project or bring in from another team onto your project. And they're very much like, I'm on workload, why are you bothering me? The collaborative nature that exists inside of our team internally is a very different feel than other environments that I've been subjected to overall.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. There's definitely a much greater sense of collaboration that if I light the beacon of like, oh God, what is happening here? Somebody help me. You know, I can usually grab four or five guys at a time and all, you know, mash our heads against that wall till eventually we break through it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I feel the same way. I mean, I know that when there's something I have trouble with, I can go to people in my team, you know, Jimmy Williamson or Eric Davis or Chris Kramer. I can go to those guys. I'm like, how do we do this here? And, you know, if the problem is something that I can't answer with internally in my team, I can go to somewhere else. I can go to Patrick. Patrick, I need help. Can you look at these numbers, which I actually did recently on an upcoming project? I'm like, Patrick, I need another set of eyes on this. Can you please just take a look? And, you know, and if we need to talk to other people in our team, it's very easy to reach out to people and say, hey, I need some help here.
Yeah. Which at our phase of our careers at this point, it's rare that we get a blessing when we have a question that it's actually an easy question for someone else to fix. Too often when we have a question, it's a real humdinger of a problem that really is just going to like scratch a lot of heads. So it's good to have that kind of environment there so that you can toss the hard balls out there.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, and you know, I'm thinking about also, you know, what Nathan does, right, with his team with project management. You know, without Nathan, we would just be, you know, not that we would be scrambling around, but it would just be, you know, the project management and when, you know, in previous companies I've worked for, we really didn't have a dedicated project management team. We had somebody who would put on the project management hat that day or that week and try to project manage a solution, right? Which, you know, it would always work out well in the end, but having a team like Nathan, you know, with Nathan and his guys, really help out, right? Because they're dedicated to doing project management and keeping the timelines and the milestones and the success points in the clear, right? So I can't say enough about Nathan and his team.
Well, that's very nice of you, Will. And I think, you know, you're right. And to a certain degree, anybody on this call can probably manage any of our projects from beginning to end, right? You guys, everybody on this call is a seasoned veteran. And if you had to pick up a legal pad and a pen, you could probably write out some tasks, some timelines, some dates, and manage a project. But what we're trying to do is really standardize, make things visible from a customer experience standpoint, make things visible to the organization in terms of a status on specific project. So it's really taking it to that next tier. Cause I think you're right. A lot of companies our size have someone that wears that hat. But developing a project management office is really taking it to that next tier where we're standardizing across the board. When it comes to that.
Absolutely.
And we're not there yet. You talk,
I can definitely talking. Say from, I think I can speak on behalf of Jonathan here too, that we've both been a part of a company that was very much like that, either didn't have a project manager team or did, but they, you know, I guess weren't as knowledgeable or didn't have a Nathan over there. So I think I could say for both of us that with Dartpoint, their project manager team has been quite the breath of fresh air compared to what we've had to experience in the past.
That's That's good to hear. We got a ways to go. You know, that's that continuous improvement we all talk about. We can always get better. But the fact we're identifying things, taking action on them, I think is going to serve us all well.
Yeah, I think it's a huge compliment. I think I heard Dave Young say that, you know, the PMO is relatively new, but you wonder how we ever lived without it. I mean, that kind of speaks volumes to it, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, guys, so let's start wrapping things up. One thing I always ask, and what I asked when we did the podcast with Karan and his team, was let's talk about hobbies. Tell me a little bit something fun about yourself. Let's start with you, Patrick. What are some things you like to do for fun outside of work?
Yeah, I like to play the guitar. I play the guitar. And matter of fact, I wrote this little song. No, I'm kidding. I do that.
Now Wonderwall.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, here's Wonderwall. I'm very busy. Typical dad answer. I'm very busy with the kids in sports right now. So it's, you know, running around and taking the kids to all the practices and all the games and, you know, driving hours for a 20-minute, you know, kid being in the game for 20 minutes and losing by 50 points. But, you know, you go through that stuff, you got to do what you got to do. But so I like to do that stuff. And of course, you know, something that I like to ask of people when we interview and when we help interview other places too, is I like to see if they're technologists at heart. I think that's very important. I have several, you know, media center setups and stuff like that, and tinker around with Linuxes and Macs and Windows and all sorts of stuff around. So that's the kind of stuff that keeps me busy.
Absolutely. Nathan, let's go to you next, because I want Jonathan to be last. So let's go to Nathan.
Nathan, I'm intrigued.
It's like I steal his answers.
No. I'm you know, I'm a husband, dad, grandfather. So that certainly, you know, keeps you busy. But probably the most unique thing, if you will, that I do is I have the same hiking group. We go out to Colorado and try and knock off a couple of 14ers every year, and been doing that since 2008. So that's kind of what I do in my me time when I get to take that week and just go completely off grid and off of email. And I would like to say off my cell phone, but that's, we all know that's not.
Dustin, so yeah, that's how about me? Cool. Dustin, how about you?
I guess I'll be joining the dad crew here soon. Me
and my wife. Congratulations.
We'll be expecting our first late August. So that should be, you know, I'm looking forward to those, you know, driving in an hour and a half to see my kid go into a soccer game for 10 minutes.
Yes, sir.
You know, whatever rat nest of just randomly kicking a ball around. But, you know, other than that, I mean, usually my free time, you know, it's a lot of just, you know, I'll sit home, play some video games. If you haven't touched Helldivers yet, definitely would recommend. It's a hell of a game. It's awesome.
Nice.
But that's typically me.
Well, epidurals are good for your wife, and they're also good for you. I mean, they, you know, little something. You know,
you got an extra one while there. Why not? Yeah.
Tap me up.
Yep. Now, Jonathan, tell us about some of your hobbies.
I am a part of a spirit troop that wears ridiculous clothing, usually short shorts and gold capes, and we do poorly coordinated dances for charity to support a local children's hospital.
Nice.
We're called the Golden Guys. We're a 501c3, a member of their board also. We have about 20 or so some odd members, and we all just dress completely ridiculously and do these we have some choreographed dances. Very few of us are actually good at dancing, though. We're blessed to have a few people that actually dance their entire lives. Most of us, though, are just trying their best.
Nice. Well, you know, Jonathan, awesome. It's for a great cause. I've actually seen some of the videos and seen some of the stuff on the web that you guys do, and I was very impressed. So it's an amazing cause, so thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. That's and awesome. I also play music, Patrick. I actually play bass guitar. Yeah, I have a bad habit with collecting basses. So we'll have to talk later about music and things like that. So pretty cool.
Do you know how to get a bassist off your porch? You pay him for the pizza.
Nice. Very cool. I won't take offense to that, but
I just alienated all of our bassists.
There you go.
I know three bassists. I'm going to say that too, actually.
Oh, man, bassists are cool people. Anyway.
Yeah, bassists so, are the best. The
heartbeat all right, band. Well, thank you for listening to this, this Dart Points podcast. No, in all seriousness, guys, this has been great. I think it's good to, you know, as you know, we'll have podcasts where we'll talk about technology. We'll have Veeam, Zerto, VMware coming soon on our podcast to talk about technology. But it's also nice to actually talk to the people doing the work and actually kind of getting the people who make up the company out in front and get them to shine as well. So really appreciate you guys being on this podcast and going from there. There'll be some good podcasts coming up in the future. The next one we're going to be doing will be with Jackie Steinberg, who is our channel chief. That is her title. And we'll actually talk about more about that on the next podcast. And we'll actually be talking to one of our technology partners, talking about what is channel partnership. So that'll be a good one coming up. I think that one's going to be next. And then after that, we're actually going to talk about VMware and Broadcom. And what does this mean to VMware licensing? How is it affecting people? We'll most likely have Brad, our CTO, on. And we might also be able to get someone from VMware and Broadcom on the on the show. So that'll be really interesting. So be on the lookout for that podcast. So that's it, everyone. Thank you so much. And we're going to wrap this one up, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.